It's a dark night when we get to the lake. Drink a few drinks for old time's sake. Get in the bikinis and the boys will get shirtless. I'm a little shy, so I'll change with covertness. Dangerous with a salt water splash. I'ma make you dance, make you shake your ass. Sharks in the water bringing me down. This is the remix and I'm starting to drown.
Blup, blup. Blup. Blup, blup.
Good evening, and welcome to Gore, a horror podcast to keep you up at night. I'm the wicked kitten always getting into mischief, and with me, as always, are my creepy co-hosts, the lovely Travis.
Yo.
The endearing, the ethereal Faye.
Hi, hi.
And lastly, the dread you've been feeling since you hit play on this podcast. Dreadly.
Well, hello.
Yes. Yes, we are here. We are mighty. We are four. But we have lived our lives. And so now I ask the ever-present question of, what you doing? What you watching? How you been, Travis?
Busy, but in a good way. I'm in the middle of Cage Month on my podcast. Wait, you haven't seen All Cage All the Time. I finally got to freaking watch Renfield. Damn it.
Yay!
It sucked, didn't it?
I had to wait and wait and wait to watch it, and I loved it. It was awesome. I had way too much fun with that movie. It was basically a cartoon in all the best ways. I've been getting out to the theater this week. In the past week, I finally saw Oppenheimer, which I enjoyed quite a bit. Very long, but paced really well and really, really good. I went yesterday and saw Barbie. That was fantastic.
Yay.
And I also saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem the other night, and I loved that. That might be my favorite of the three, actually. It captured that energy that the old cartoon had, but for a new audience. And it was great seeing the turtles look and sound like actual 14, 15-year-old kids. I really enjoyed that. And the art style is amazing. So I've been doing that. And then if it's not that, it's either a podcast or Baldur's Gate 3, because that game's taken over my life. But it's really good. So been having a lot of fun there. Learned a powerful lesson today while I was playing, which is if you run into a goddess, don't respond with, well, you're a god, do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do respond with that, don't double down on it with your next dialogue choice, because the game will end right there. So that was a lesson learned and reloaded the game and continued on.
Travis, yeah. If somebody asks you if you're a god,
say
yes.
Say yes.
Hey, how are you? What's going on? What you watch and how you doing the thing and stuff.
I too have been playing Baldur's Gate 3 in the times that I'm not at work, which this week, these past couple of weeks have been very short of not being at work. I did watch Dolls, so it was fun to rewatch that. I know you talked about it last time.
I think last time you said you watched it and I said I was going to watch it.
Oh,
right. I love it.
It's been 2 weeks and it's been very...
I'm glad you brought it up. It was great. I absolutely freaking adore that movie now.
Yeah. Just trying to remember what other things I've done. Just Baldur's Gate 3, I guess, in between the lunacy that has been work.
No movies this time.
Not that I can remember.
See, they're working you too hard. You're turning into me. Dreadly. Where did you go, my lovely? What?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's a 90s song. It's not a good 90s song, but it's a 90s song.
Mm-hmm. I did see a movie.
Aha!
Faye, what you doing? What you watching?
The Last Voyage of the Demeter.
Oh, good.
Safe. Very cookie cutter safe. Not bad, but yeah. Nothing spectacular.
Aw. I mean, that's good, but not great. Dreadly. How are you doing again? Where are you living? And
Where I'm living is, let me just start off with saying, welcome to Gore, a podcast about Baldur's Gate 3. You thought it was about a movie? No. Baldur's Gate 3. Go play it. It's great. So that's basically what I've been playing. Lots of Baldur's Gate 3. And whenever people ask me if I'm a god, I just say yes. And I might also have killed a god earlier today. So, yeah. I've made some choices. Oh, yeah. I love that game. Best game of the year. Definitely. See? Bella agrees. Mm-hmm. I think she cast something on Travis there.
Something.
Considering I don't work as much as the other people, I also watched some movies. Among others, Blumhouse's Truth or Dare. It's very important to add Blumhouse's in front of that. Which was actually a really good movie. I also expected nothing of it, because come on, it's Truth or Dare.
It's actually more fun than what you expect it to be.
Yep.
Okay.
I'll take your word on that until I watch it.
There's a couple of movies like that, like a Truth or Dare or something like that.
Hide and Seek. I
can't remember the one that I watched, but is this the one with the real depressing ending?
Well, it depends on what you find depressing. I liked the ending. So probably.
I'm going to go with yes then.
Okay. Because that movie was depressing as hell, if it's the one I'm thinking of. Like, you know, the other stuff is whatever, but like at the end, I'm just like.
it involved YouTube-ish things at the end.
Okay, so then no, it's not the same one. So maybe I watched Would You Rather or something like that. Or
anyway, like you that. Should watch or rewatch Truth or Dare, because it was good. Another movie I watched, considering we're in shark territory, I watched The Black Demon.
It's the newer shark movie.
So sad.
Yeah.
So this movie, for the first 40 minutes or so, I loved. And unfortunately, the movie is an hour and 40 minutes long. And the problem is that the last part of the movie is not bad, but it's boring. And that's like the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
It's a freaking shark movie. Come on. But yeah, that was sad. And the last movie I watched was The Sand or Killer Beach, because the title of the movie is different than the first thing you see in the movie that's like the mutilator, basically.
Nice.
That movie was better than I expected, but it went on too long for the story they had, because it's basically people stuck on a part of a beach and the beach is, well, killer. It's about them figuring out how to get out of there and not die, but it's like, you know, it would be great as a short story or anthology piece. So like a full movie is a bit too much, but not bad. So if you like tentacles, go watch.
Oh, tentacles. My.
Oh, yeah. And we all know I love tentacles. There was a giant tentacle in Baldur's Gate 3. Love it.
There's multiple tentacles in Baldur's Gate 3.
Well, it was a giant one at one point, like a giant one that gave me nightmares and flashbacks to Divinity Original Sin 2's ending fight. And I'm like, Oh, did anyone get to meeting the three evil people? Because one of them is
as far as you.
Because one of them is hot. Just saying. In a Hellraiser kind of way.
Although you are the fourth highest friend I have on Steam in that game.
I looked. I have near 50 hours, I think.
Yeah. Bo has something. And I'm like, I don't even know how you do that with a full-time job. I am in awe of him.
I could have gotten there if I didn't keep myself restrained for playing on stream, actually. Else I could just not sleep and play every day.
Yeah, who needs sleep?
Yeah, no, you don't.
I'm apparently we also at 58 hours.
58.
Ha-ha!
Yeah, think about that.
Yeah, 48.
I am at 12.
Well, we all know who's working.
We're working so damn much.
Anyway, what have you been doing, Wicked Kitten? Have you been playing something?
I actually started Baldur's Gate 3. Yeah, I have an hour, 3 hours. There you go. Oh, I'm sorry. Bo now has 134 hours.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
John has 90. Darksting has 74.
Damn.
And then Ben has 49. My friend Ben. Travis, you are my fifth friend.
In short, Larian, if you want to sponsor this show, let me know. I'm Belgian, you know?
But yeah, so this is my, anyone who knows me knows that I didn't really play video games as a kid. And so I started with Blizzard-y things, Hearthstone, Warcraft, Heroes of the Storm, that kind of thing. And so I don't have a great hand-eye coordination ability with games. And so I suck really bad, right? Obviously, this isn't that kind of game. But this game is absolutely beautiful. It is a delight to play. I enjoy the world. I don't have a ton of experience playing D&D, but for a year and a half, I did D&D show where I was slowly learning how to become a sorceress. And so every time I play D&D from then on, I'm just continuing trying to learn to be a sorcerer. That's my life. That's really
this
fun.
Game will help you.
Yeah, because it's definitely I don't have to ask as many questions because the game kind of guides you in that way. So I'm not always what is this bonus thing that I can do? And because I still don't know, but it's very nice. And it's nice to play with friends as well. And I got to be mean to people in the game, because that's my goal in life, is just to be mean to the dude. I'm not flirting with any of the guys. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I had to stop her because she was like, should I kill him? I'm like, no, we should recruit him. No.
He's just a friggin' hand sticking out of a hole. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what's going on here. But I was rude to both of the guys.
Nah, they like it. It's fine.
Yeah. But we find us a hot chick. I'll hit on her, or I'll be nice to her.
Oh, we do. We do.
Karlach.
Yes.
She's literally hot.
Mm-hmm. Hellfire even.
There's a lot of hot chicks in there.
But this time I picked a tiefling, so that's new for me. Usually usually when I was playing D&D, it was Asmar. Asmar.
Fallen Angel.
Mm-hmm. But I didn't know which character was what, so I was like, you know what, this tiefling thing looks cool. So I just picked that. And I made myself pink, because fuck it. I can make myself pink. But other than that, and those 3 hours, I did watch a couple of movies. We actually watched together a movie that the name is escaping me right now. And I think we had fun.
Remember?
Not well enough to remember the title.
What was it?
What did we watch?
It was Travis. You don't remember either?
I don't remember.
Oh my
Treadley,
god.
Treadley, look at your played list.
It was only a week ago. Well, I'll talk about that. I did watch Dolls. I really liked
Ghoulies.
Ghoulies, that's it. We watched Ghoulies, which
made a big impression.
Shut up. Ghoulies went perfectly with Dolls. I had that. That was a lovely week of just, I don't know. That kind of horror is my childhood. Like, that's just, it's comfort.
I mean, both were Charles Band, so.
Exactly. It's just, you know. I also had the opportunity to watch, for the first time, the movie The Fury, which is a really cool movie from 1978 with Kirk Douglas and Amy Irving. And it's basically like Carrie, but different. It's pretty cool.
Not to be confused with Fury, starring Brad Pitt and Shia LaBeouf.
Oh,
I'm which is a completely heard. Different movie.
Yes.
Also, no. Not to be confused with The Rage. Carrie. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I was thinking, wait, isn't that Carrie too? But no, that's The Rage, not The Fury.
Yeah, this is like also psychic people with like powers and stuff. It's very, very similar. I don't know. The whole it's just great. Also, there's a couple cats in it, so I know Dreadley would like it. Classic movie. You know how it is. Late 70s, early 80s. That's my sweet spot. Also watched Inferno from 1980. Fun movie. And I watched Stage Fright from 1987 or 89. I'm not really sure what year that's from. I've never seen it before, but somebody recommended it. They're like, do you like slashers? And I'm like, yes. And they're like, well, you're going to love this. And, you know, it was kind of great. You know, as long as you're not afraid of owls, it was great.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Put my crippling fear of owls aside and watch Stage Fright.
Mm-hmm. Basically. It's truly over the top with some of those deaths. Some really great deaths. It's I can't remember the name of the dude, but they're very heavily inspired by Argento. So it's very much that feel to it.
Gotcha.
Oh, very giallo. If it's not
okay.
Actually
giallo, I'll watch it.
Yeah. You know, those watching Inferno, because I did like a double feature, and watching Inferno, just there's another thing, like, giallo is so beautiful, you know, just the way that it looks, the bananas ass shit that happens in these Italian horror movies. It's there's something so magical about it, and like, it's just indescribable. So Italian horror, go watch it.
Or if you are Italian, just go watch horror.
But I think it's about that time to peek around that corner and give you some of the highlights of horror news.
Do you like werewolves? Do you like Santa? How about a werewolf Santa? Coming That's for you awesome. This year.
I'm in.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm all in. I need more Christmas movies, and this looks like somebody filmed a Christmas werewolf movie on their iPhone. So I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, a werewolf bit Santa. Santa becomes werewolf. Santa the werewolf now kills everybody.
Does he bring presents or no?
I mean, what more do you need, really?
Probably rabies. I mean,
last year we had robot Santa. This year it's werewolf Santa.
The only thing that could be better than this is if it was, I don't know, something with a shark, like, you know, Santa Charles, which exists.
Yeah. It shouldn't.
But it does.
Yeah, well, we're all the worse for it.
Coming soon, Encore.
Dark Castle is reportedly working on development of a new TV series for 13 Ghosts.
Yay!
Yeah!
Which could be interesting. Because I think it's a cool premise that can lend itself to a series because you can explore the different ghosts and actually give the 13 ghosts more and better screen time. And
exactly. And kind of
make them scarier. Because really, if you think about like that movie, it was 13 ghosts, but like three of them were really focused on. The rest were just sort of there. They'd have their quick moment, but that was it. But it'd be nice. So it'll be nice to see if that if it does come to fruition, how that goes.
Yes, give each ghost an episode, and then have 13 episodes a season, and then switch perspectives.
Sure,
and maybe do a crossover with Scooby-Doo.
I'd be up for that.
Just because Matthew Lillard was in it.
Yeah.
Aw, Matthew Lillard.
Such a sweet guy from his interactions.
Yeah.
He seems like a genuinely good dude.
Speaking of good dudes, green light for season 3 of Chucky.
Woo! I'm so freaking excited about this.
Yep. You know, at some point, I am going to watch an episode of that show.
Oh, wait, you haven't seen
the TV series.
Spin-off podcast coming soon.
No, yeah, you gotta check it out. If you like the Chuckies, it's wonderful.
It's if you've liked everything up through Cult of Chucky and all of those, it picks right up from there. So check it out.
Yeah, it's like not I a say, lack of. It's just a lack of time. Is the only reason I haven't seen any of it.
We're just trying to convince you with our words.
Yeah, I know.
And don't make me take away your Baldur's Gate 3. And then
take my Baldur's Gate 3 from my cold dead hands.
But for the listeners, like absolutely, like we say, the first three are kind of like horror, but like campy 80s horror, and then the next two are just like cheesy, silly. Meta romps, and then the last two movies are, you know, going back towards the horror but still kind of meta and silly, and this show perfectly encompasses like everything in there, like all the meta, all the silliness, all the scary stuff. And you know, I think it's just the sense of humor, because if you already like the Chucky series, you have a good sense of humor, right? It's just,
and they make kids swear, so love it.
And die.
Make.
And for some reason, Devin Sawa comes back every season.
Since we're gamers, there's some gaming updates for different horror games. Phasmophobia got a very big update recently, where the ghosts now talk as well.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, hell no. All right, fine.
Didn't they talk before? I remember people whispering in my ear.
Yeah, no, but they
you
talk
You can go
more.
Fuck yourself, okay? Sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I freaked out playing that shit.
Well, we should play that sometime soon.
No, like, see, Dead by Daylight's more action-y, and you're, like, running around, and it gets scary when you have to run from things.
We should also play that.
Then something going by you and whispering in your ear.
Actually,
so goddamn
I mean, a four-player Phasmophobia stream would be great for the show.
Yeah, I'd do it.
Somebody will have to pay me money for that.
our patrons are. So, gotcha.
No. Shit. I'm gonna cry.
And speaking of more action-y type games, there is another asymmetric game, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the video game.
Nice. So, I'm fine with all of these.
So just bunch of kids against Leatherface?
I think it's the whole family. Against the whole family.
Oh.
From the previews that I've saw, I haven't seen much, but...
See, that would be original. Instead of four survivors, one killer, just have one survivor and four killers.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I can barely get away from the one killer. You know how hard it is to play Dead by Daylight, by the way? Which is
no, because no one plays it with me.
Because the one time I played it, I was trying to run away, and I'm playing with somebody else, and they knocked over a pallet in front of me, and I'm like, I'm new at this. I don't know how to jump. So I just got trapped and died.
Jump is usually spacebar.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm in the moment of freaking out being chased by this thing, and then, like, they flamp the fucking thing in front of me, and I'm like, ah!
So their plan worked, is what you say.
They got away, yes.
They didn't have to be fast. They just had to be faster than you.
Yep, good old tactic.
But yeah, nobody wants me on their team. I'm just saying. Unless you want to hear someone scream all night and cry.
We'll hear that with Phasmophobia.
Yep.
No.
It's happening.
No.
It's happening. You're outvoted.
No. I remember I put down my headphones that game. I was like, I can't listen to this. My ASMR, which also sounds like the type of character I play in D&D, but my ASMR is just like really freaks out with that. It's not good. It's why I can't listen to any of you guys' whispers.
Okay.
It's why I hate whenever Scott and Brian start TMS and they're just like, oh, hey, how you doing? Hey. You know, when they do that thing into the microphone, I'm like, don't do that because my ears. It's like, I feel like itch inside of my ears.
You don't like when they do this, when they get real close like that? And do one of those?
No, I hate that. Morning, AM guy. We have rain coming out of the foggy side of the mountain.
And now for tonight's feature presentation.
Oh, it feels good to be out here for a little lake vacation.
True. Those shark episodes were hard work.
We deserve some time off.
No more shark movies for the next year.
Woo! Well, people seem to want more.
Just back to good old shark-free horror.
I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
So, Wicked, what are we doing next? A slasher?
Not quite.
I'd give my right arm for A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Well, you're getting warmer.
It doesn't really matter. Look, I'm just glad there won't be a single shark in sight.
Let's take a swim now that it's safe to go back in the water again.
Woo! Last one in gets to watch Sky Sharks on repeat.
Should we tell them?
Nah, they'll figure it out soon enough.
Shark!
Shark Night is a 2011 horror film directed by David R. Ellis and written by Will Hayes and Jesse Studenberg. It stars Sarah Paxton, Chris Carmack, Catherine McPhee, Alyssa Diaz, Dustin Milligan, and Joel David Moore. This movie is better than Ghost Shark. But how do you feel about it, Travis?
Well, it's better than Ghost Shark.
Go to Faye now.
The worst movie I've ever seen.
How do you feel about this movie?
I learned that Sarah Paxton is distantly related to Bill Paxton. And by that, I mean they share a last name. She's listed in the trivia as the seventh cousin of Bill Paxton. I'm like, you can go that far. Like, I guess
he has six other cousins.
At that point, are you really like, I don't know. My guess is somebody's made that up, but, like I say, it's better than Ghost Shark. There's actual production value to this. It is a director that had made things we had heard of before, like Snakes on a Plane, The Final Destination, and Final Destination 2. So he did two of the movies in the series.
Yeah.
And there was competence in the filmmaking. It looked good. I will say that. Like the actual visuals in it were overall pretty good. I got so, like, it didn't know what plot it wanted to have at all. And so it just sort of was like, oh, yeah, no, these guys are in on it. And this guy, too. And they have sharks in the water. Because sharks, why? We don't need a reason. Fuck it. Hand wave it away. Just the sharks. We put them here. We put all of them here. We just dumped a bunch of sharks in this lake and decided to let them eat college kids because we're on the bayou. I don't know. It didn't know if it wanted to be a shark movie or a hillbilly horror movie or some combination, like hillbilly shark movie.
Yeah.
Why not both?
Which, honestly, I would have much rather had hillbilly sharks. Like,
yeah, now I want that. Someone make that.
Rednecks, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, like redneck sharks. Give me those.
Yeah. We'll cover it next year.
Yeah.
Make it.
It was just, I don't know. I've seen worse, obviously, but I've seen a lot better. Like, Coherence. It just sort of was like, it got done and I'm like, that's it. Okay, sure. Why not? Let's move on. I saw Donald Logue get to have a heel turn. I will say there were several moments where I'm like, that fucking dog dies. I'm ripping this movie apart. And then there was a moment there where sharp tooth redneck, Josh Leonard,
Red,
he had a moment where I'm like, maybe he isn't completely irredeemable because he's like, let's keep the dog. Look, he's so cute. And then Discount Casper Van Dien tells him to just get rid of the dog and he chucks it off the side of the boat. And I'm like, well, fuck you. And thankfully the dog showed up at the end and all was right in the world.
Yes, that is what I'll say. This gets us an extra star for not killing the dog.
They faked us out with dog killing like three times, though, and I'm not happy about that.
Yeah. They're sons of bitches.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say that this was not a normal dog? It was just, I don't know, this dog is able to jump out of the water into a boat without any help.
That was amazing.
Being immediately dry after.
And help carry a wounded person.
Oh, yeah, he'd bit a hand like, I'm helping.
Yeah,
that was so cute.
Of course, the only reason he was thrown into the water was so he could fetch a stick and be like, hey, I'm here to save the day.
He brought back the pokey stick.
So of course,
the boomstick.
I also noticed this movie had quite the obsession with just close-ups on ass.
Oh, yeah. The male gaze, we call it.
And the opening, the cold opening for the movie, I kind of like, and I get what he's going for in there. Fine. But then the first shot after the very long opening titles is just ass walking on the campus. And I'm thinking, all right, okay. So this is going to be our theme. Cool. And then the camera pans away from her and starts following the character of Malik. And I'm like, she's not even a character in the movie. Okay.
Exactly. Why did we focus on her for so long?
I forgot to see in the credits if she's listed as ass girl or something.
She's not.
Ah.
But I was just like, I mean, there's blatant and then there's that. Like,
there's blatant. Yes. And then immediately we get guy butt. So I'm happy for the equal opportunity at least.
Faye. True.
How did you feel about this movie?
Me? I tried not to fall asleep.
It was that boring.
Yeah, I mean, lost an arm, and fire just spontaneously just goes out instantly.
Mm-hmm. It's got the tropes.
Yeah, that's for damn sure. I'm gonna start a fire and turn around, and then it's gonna instantly be out when I turn around.
We should note this movie was PG-13, by the way. So
yes, I was reading it came out at the same time as like Piranha 3D or something. Mm-hmm. And so this was supposed to be like the more teen friendly version movie for the summer, that kind of thing or whatever, which, okay. Cause that, if I remember Piranha correctly, I remember somebody's Lang Doodle being bitten off, unless that was the second one.
Three double D.
Because I didn't see the second one. I saw the first one, but like, there's a scene that I don't want to ever think about again.
Well, you'll have to once we do it.
Oh my god, Jerry O'Connell, seriously, dude. Dreadly, how do you feel about this movie?
Well, I didn't know the movie until you mentioned it to me. But then I was like, when I was watching it, it was like, oh, that guy. Oh, that guy. These are all people I knew somehow. Don't ask me where from, except one guy from Gotham. But like, damn, there were more people, like known people in this movie to be a bad movie. And as Travis mentioned, the first thing I said was, this looks good. That was like, looks like a movie.
That's the thing. It actually had a budget, so they could, you know, rent like good cameras and light things properly.
Had a budget. But I liked the movie. It had a little bit of issues. Way too long opening credits, because I mentioned it, like, this is half the movie. It's half the movie. And they're going to do the same at the end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He did say that. He's like, these credits are going to be longer than the movie, aren't they?
Yeah. But
if you took the credits off, I think the movie is only like an hour and 20 minutes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's less, right.
Probably. It's an even hour and a half, right? With everything.
It's straight an hour and a half.
Yeah. Because the end credits were 10 minutes long because they have a 5-minute song.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's true.
An amazing 5-minute song.
Yes.
At the end.
Make sure you listen to that, listeners. You have to. It's just great.
Yeah. So 10 minutes off there and like 5 minutes credits. In the really beginning. Yep. No, and all in all, it was a fine movie, I'd say. Happy to have seen it.
I had a fun time watching this. It's not a good movie. It's definitely better than Ghost Shark. Way, way better than Ouija Shark.
I mean...
it's not as... Like, if I had to say, it's probably not as good as Jaws, but Jaws 2, I mean, I'm sorry. I was trying to
compare. I mean, it's close between this movie and Jaws. I mean, this was intriguing.
I'm talking about Jaws 2. So. Like, even Jaws 2 was probably better than this, but I think for what it was, just like a teen romp at a lake with sharks and stuff, like, that part was fun. It made no sense about the sharks, but you know, we're all there to watch people get eaten by sharks and, you know.
It didn't just make no sense about the sharks, though. They didn't even try to make sense of the sharks. They're just like, sharks in the lake. Oh, it's a saltwater lake, okay? Yeah. How did they get to the lake from the ocean? There's a gap there called land.
A hurricane.
There weren't any land sharks. Land, yeah, hurricane. They open up the floodgates.
Yeah.
Okay. Plus, and that just lets every species of shark through. Like, that again doesn't work.
There's no control on the border there.
That's the assumption that the kids were going on, but the dudes were bringing them in, which makes no sense because How? Did they look like they could afford to do that?
Right. And their ultimate goal was to sell the video of people being eaten by the sharks to the subset of viewers that enjoy Shark Week but want the real hardcore shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sharks. It would have cost them so much more money just to get those sharks to that damn lake than they ever were going to make from doing any of that.
Well, we all know that you get rich by YouTube and all that. Come on now.
But I guess it kind of makes sense then that it's the redneck sheriff and his two cronies. They don't have two brain cells to rub together anyway. So
yeah. They make no sense.
And all to get revenge on an ex for scarring up her face.
Yeah, and he didn't look that bad. I mean, his face looked fine. Yeah.
He looked like he had character building stuff. And obviously, like, they were doing it for the money, and then he thought, what the fuck? Why don't I just, like, mess with my ex who fucked up my face because I was an asshole and I was going to let her drown or something? That was a weird fucking backstory. Like,
that didn't make any sense to me either. Like, she's telling this backstory, and I'm like, wait, what happened? So why was he letting you drown and just float away?
Because she was breaking up with him.
What was the reason? So
why are you in the water with someone you broke up with? This seems like a dumb idea as well.
Oh, there's a whole lot of problems there.
Yeah, she's going away for college. He doesn't like it. She wants to go anyways. So he gets all huts into tough and takes her to her favorite spot and then lets her drown or tries to let her drown.
Yes.
But I'm pretty sure she didn't. After a while, they were like, oh, are you sure you ran out of air? And she's like, no, but I was afraid something. I couldn't follow that part.
Something with the tubing for the scuba was failed and what she wasn't getting air.
So I think they retcon that later, but
either way, I stopped caring at some point. I was just like, okay, that's fine. Let's just, who's going to get killed by the shark next and how? Yeah. I guess that's basically where I got to.
The movie. Exactly. You
it's like, all right, this guy's on a wave rider. How's the shark going to chase him down? And turns out he's not, he's going to get away from that shark. It's just that a different one's going to be waiting for him at like the bottleneck.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
That can leap very high.
Yes.
That was impressive.
To which I said, he didn't jump the shark. The shark jumped him.
I mean, that feels weird, but I'll allow it.
Yeah, that's right. So now we're going to coin the phrase, the shark jumping.
Getting jumped by a shark.
Getting jumped by a shark.
Well, better than getting jumped by a shark.
And okay, so, all right, let's take away the plot because it doesn't make any sense, right?
Let's just make it. We have the same movie. We have the same movie, basically.
Because, you know, like fuck it, right? So we make it's just teens getting killed and sharks. And that part of it, which, by the way, we spend 30 minutes getting to know everyone before anything actually happens. So it's mostly just a party movie. did everyone else get that feeling when they first get to the house and they're getting all dressed and changed and they're like, oh shit, is there something wrong with this version of the movie? Because they did like that weird video thing and I'm like, is my brain? Yeah. What am I doing?
They did it a couple of times with like a fake fast forward eating.
There was at least once during that little montage where they repeated a shot, right? Like they would fast forward Sarah walk across and then immediately fast forward Sarah walking across to the same thing, but then she sat down. Like, wait, what did the editor like fall asleep for a second there? Is that what it's just leave it in, no one will notice.
You know what it felt like? It kind of felt like a music video almost. Like something they would do in that.
But they forgot to put the music in there.
Yeah, well, maybe.
They did that later.
I did like the music. I'm going to say that. I'll say that later too.
This was scored by Graham Revell. Like, this had a good composer. Somebody who's done a whole bunch of shit we've heard. And has done some really good scores. Like, they got good music in here. That's what I'm saying. This was competently put together. Like David R. Ellis had made films. None of them are award winning by any stretch, whether it's Final Destination, Asylum, Snakes on a Plane. But he made
Funny, by the way, that he actually did do Asylum. And last week we had that whole thing where you're like, where you said the other director something.
Oh, he had started on the Asylum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just funny because I saw that. Like, wow.
But like it was a director who, you know, knew what he was doing, knew how to make movies, had come up as a second unit director, assistant director, worked his way up there. And, you know, got good people for like his DP and for composing and all of that. It's just it was a cheap, dumb script that was, you know, it is what it is, but it was well made.
Mm-hmm.
A well-made pile of garbage, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. PG-13, make some money, spend $25 million. It's a tax write-off, right?
That's very true. But you know what it's time for?
The 13.
The 13 is a specially cultivated list of tropes or our favorite things from horror movies. This list may change or be adjusted as time goes on and in real time because this is real life and not a documentary for Shark Week. I hope. Number one, kitty cat. No.
Dog.
No. But there's a cute pup.
And he gets thrown.
Sherman pup.
He does get thrown.
Yes.
The dog does get thrown.
Yes. I didn't like that, by the way. Can we keep him? No. Okay. Just the wait.
Dog jumps in the friggin' water. Brave little dog just running around, swimming. I love it. And I love the underwater shot of the little dog paddling. Mm-hmm. I love that. Number two, Volkswagen. Nope.
No. I don't remember one. No.
Speedboats and jet skis, because it's a watery movie.
Yeah, including a race with the sheriff.
Ah, she knew him. That's fine.
They were friends. Oh, I also like, what is that called? That he was on like a board instead of a skis. That water board?
Wakeboard.
Yeah, he got waterboarded.
That's terrible. Yeah, that looks fun. I don't ever want to do it, but we were like, that's got to be, I mean, Dredd was like, that's got to be a stuntman, right? There's no way it's that dude just doing the flips. But maybe it was, who knows?
Maybe they just got the stuntman to act.
You never know. He looked like a strong, strapping lad.
He looked like Dwayne Wade. For any of our listeners that know the NBA, we'll get that reference.
Number three. Scary location, time of the year.
Beach.
Yeah, lake cabin thingy.
It wasn't summer, right? But spring? Fall break? I have no idea what season it was.
Fall break?
Well, it was hard to tell because it's in the bayou. It's down near Louisiana. So
yeah, so it's always warm. It was some kind of break from school, though, so it couldn't have been summer because...
Well, just for you, Monica.
We're going to have a good time.
Gonna have a good time.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time.
We're going on now.
A fall break, walking hand in hand.
There you go.
In the moonlight.
From now on, this is fall break.
Scary location, that bathroom with no doors on the stalls. That was terrifying. What the fuck was that?
Yeah,
that was also, my high school.
Also, the fucking dude watching them on the camera.
That was creepy. Although, really good resolution on that spy camera he put on.
No kidding.
I will say that. Like, I mean, if you're going to do it right. Okay? If you're going to be creepy, go all the way.
Oh my God, put some fucking doors on your bathroom.
What you watching there, dude?
I like how he keeps watching it for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And then turns it off.
I will say, though, Joel David Moore's line right after that. Well, you've sufficiently creeped me out. He's paying and just walks away. That's good. That's well written. That's funny.
That guy was creepy.
He was.
Number four, meta horror, fourth wall breaks, mentioning the title.
A little meta with the whole Shark Week thing and like going that route.
Yes.
And I showed a video of the intro scene basically to them as an example.
True. Yeah.
So apparently the film was cross promoted with the Discovery Channel Shark Week. This comes in handy later when the villains reveal that Shark Week has been their major source of inspiration for their actions, which I feel like, once again, I love Shark Week, but they make some decisions that aren't great. Like, yeah, connecting themselves with a movie about sharks that kill. Like, we're a horror podcast, you know? Yeah.
Also,
Shark Week, but...
But Discovery Channel, if you want to sponsor the show.
During Shark Week, even.
We'll make it shark year for you. Just for you.
Or Agent Aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, something funny was the when they go into the store, they have the little fake Visa and MasterCard.
Oh, yeah. It says Risa.
Nice.
Oh, and they bought Red Bull, so, you know. There's my douchebag rule.
Gives you wings.
Red Bull and vodka, was it? Some type of vodka, or am I thinking of something else?
No, it was definitely vodka and Red Bull. I mean, that's a college kid douche frat drink.
Yep. Number five, archetype characters. Crazy Ralph from Friday the 13th. Norman Bates from Psycho, creepy clowns, creepy kids, disappearing Shirleys,
hillbillies,
crazy.
I mean, basically the racist
hillbillies.
The racist hillbillies.
Yeah. The incredibly racist hillbilly and the sheriff of the small town that knows everybody by their first name and, you know, knows the family and all that kind of stuff. And he's all chum, buddy with you.
But he's still evil.
Yes.
Yeah.
Turns out to be. That's their trope subversion in this movie.
Yeah. You've got all the regulars, the goofy guy, the hot guy,
the sporty guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the jock.
Because he's the one who loses his arm, of course.
The jock, even with one arm, kills a hammerhead shark.
With a spear.
As you do.
Like, how? What?
He was pissed. He wanted revenge.
That was also the most insane thing I've ever seen.
The first shot of him when he's standing out there, and I was like, oh, yeah, totally doesn't have his arm inside that sweatshirt at all. Nope.
Yeah.
Definitely can't see. Definitely can't see his hand down at the bottom of that sweatshirt as he's holding his arm in there. Nope.
He had a big arm.
And it's only in movies and television shows too. Do you get like that diverse a friend group? Oh, yeah. Like, it's one thing if you have a group of friends and like some of them or one or two of them are a little bit more into sports than some of the others. Maybe like that happens. I've got that in groups of friends of mine, but you don't have like the hardcore jock hanging out with a complete nerd, hanging out with a complete bookworm, hanging out with a complete like just male model. As like four core friends, you don't get that unless you're writing a script.
Well, I mean, the one was just the tutor; he's just paying him back for tutoring him.
It's funny when you said diverse friend group. I thought you were gonna mention the fact that it's like, you know, a bunch of white people and like one black guy and one Hispanic girl, and they happen to be the couple.
Yeah.
This is something that I notice a lot, by the way. Being a Hispanic woman.
Oh, I notice it all the time. I notice it in things constantly.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, personally, because I am Hispanic, and I'm looking at movies from that perspective, it's just that, why do they always have to match up the two ethnically diverse people? It just weirds me out. It weirds me out.
Well, there's all sorts of weird, quote unquote, rules to how that goes. And they're not rules, but it's like it's always done that way. It's and that's better. One of them. It's better, but it's still really dumb. That's how you can usually tell that the writers were white men.
Well, they usually are.
Sadly.
That's like my mom. My mom will watch Hallmark movies, and then she'll be like, oh, they had one with gay people in it. And I was like, well, good for them. That's, you know, they're getting there, you know? Like, I saw them, like, just... There, because for the most part, it would always be the side character that was queer, and now they had like a couple where it was like the main character. So I'm. It's nice to see the change. It's happening way too slowly, but whatever.
It is way happening too slowly, but at least it's happening, which is the very least that can be. But it is happening. But yeah, it's way too slow and still too structured. There's still too many dumb tropey rules that go on, but yeah. You know, this movie was 2011, so they don't know how to not do that.
Number 6, pointless boobies, weird wings, moonies, fannies.
It's PG-13. We got one naked butt.
And some side
naked boom. Man butt. Number one, naked man butt. Very happy about mm-hmm. that for a movie that has a lot of like fan service towards men. It's mostly yep. watching the girls in their bikinis, topless backs and stuff like that.
Yep, side boob.
Yeah, the side. Yeah, yes. Thank you very much.
But yeah, no, we got. Not only did we get naked guy man butt, we got flexing naked man butt.
Oh yeah. And shirtless yummy guys. So the guys were as hot as the women were.
It's really nice of you to say that about Joel David Moore. I mean, he works out. He tries.
I have a huge crush on him. I think he is a fucking adorable. But I like nerdy guys, as we know. So you're welcome, Joel David Moore. You're not listening to this, but you know.
I really is the one that I remember. I recognize the most. He was in that so much.
If I had watched this back then, he would be the only one that I knew. But after, because the one dude is in Grey's Anatomy and the main dude is the boyfriend from Schitt's Creek or the Alexis's boyfriend from Schitt's Creek. That's mm-hmm. immediately, I was like, oh my God, it's that dude. And yeah. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known.
Joel David Moore, because I saw Grandma's Boy, Joel David Moore is like seared in my brain as that character from Grandma's Boy. And it's unfair because he's a better actor and like he can actually do some other things. But it's kind of like what's his name that played Napoleon Dynamite. It's hard to see sometimes him in other things because that part was so iconic. But like I think that's the first thing that pops into my head with Joel David Moore. But then I remember like, oh no, he was in Avatar. He was fine in that. You know, he's done other stuff and Bones
he's done a lot.
And all that.
Yeah.
But seeing him, I love Donald Logue, who is the sheriff. He's great. I like him in everything.
Yeah. I like Donald Logue and I like Neil McDonough. So that was either way.
Who are not the same person as Wicked found out.
No, but for listeners, I don't think I said this like on the, this is before we started recording, but I saw the name Donald Logue and I'm like, oh, it's that guy with the silver hair and the crystal blue eyes. And I remember him. And like, then we figured out that's Neil McDonough, which is not the same person or the same name.
And I'm going to give you three names and they're not really like the same type of actor at all, but I kind of put them all in the same category for me, which is Donald Logue, Lachlan Monroe and Dash Mahawk.
I don't know the third guy.
You've seen Dash Mahawk in quite a bit. You just might not know him by name, but like the three of them sort of kind of occupy a similar area in my brain of like, I like them and everything I see them in, but you never see them leading a movie.
Yeah.
Typically, Donald Logue did have, what was his sitcom he was on, where he was
grounded for something.
Grounded for life. Yeah.
Yep.
So he's done that. Like, but they're great character actors that just sort of, they're all kind of like variations on the same theme.
And Neil McDonough did have a procedural show for a little while that I watched that got canceled because that's what happens to shows that I like. Could not tell you the name of it now, but it was like a while back. It was one of those fun things. Yeah. Like NCIS, CSI, but not those, something new.
Right.
Number 7. Telling, retelling the legend and or establishing the movie's rules. Breaking Randy's rules. They were drinking, but...
Rules?
Yeah.
This movie has no rules.
No. They don't tell a legend or anything, but they do that backstory thing, which I like.
They give some backstory. They definitely do the whole, you know, tropey, we're going to drink and have sex type stuff. Although they weren't there long enough for anybody to really get down.
Yeah.
So, because, like, people start dying right away.
Yeah,
they did split up.
Yeah, they did split up. You can't do that.
They fell into the trap of, hey, let's go with us and we can go get some help.
I fell for it too, though. When I first watched it, I was like, well, maybe they're not so bad, but they're going to get eaten by the sharks because they're stupid idiots, you know? I didn't know it was going to turn that way. Like, I didn't know it was because of them. I thought they were going to be jerks, but I thought that they would just get eaten by sharks.
Why else would they have that device if they didn't know that the sharks were there?
I didn't say that I was good at telling what was going to happen in movies. I just said...
Now, he did say anything that comes at the boat. They're in the bayou, so it could have been for gators.
Oh, gators.
Crawfish and stuff like that. Didn't have to be for sharks, because he didn't specifically say sharks. But yeah.
Yeah. They split up. Number 8. Dance sequence, montage sequence, and I've added in here homage or homage sequence and flashbacks. So, dance sequence, montage, homage.
Oh, yeah. There was montages.
Yep.
And homages. There's like little touches of Jaws and stuff in there and what have you.
Yep. And I definitely noticed, you know, I mean, the obvious montage.
Was that the getting ready montage?
That was the montage. We got there. Yeah. We got to the house, putting stuff away.
I like the dancing.
It was a weird one.
I like that she put her bikini on, she didn't actually tie it, and then she, like, shook and walked out, and I'm like...
And it was tied just after she shook.
That was crazy. I don't know how you did that.
You can't tie your bikini while shaking your boobies? No?
No. Usually it falls off.
Oh.
Boop. That was the fastest I've ever seen that, but... There's also a earlier Malik, he sticks his arm in that gator thing.
Oh yeah,
sticks his right arm.
The foretelling.
Yeah, foretelling. That's the word I was thinking of.
Foreshadowing.
I like that. Foreshadowing. There's shout outs to Jaws. The opening kill is supposed to be like Jaws. I guess with extra ass.
She didn't have that much ass. Yeah.
Also, a great white tears apart a shark cage, like in original Jaws. And the shark being able to keep up with the speedboat, like in Jaws 2. Apparently.
Yep.
Which I don't remember.
I don't either.
That's in the
an homage that wasn't really in the movie, but Faye kept saying it, and I kept saying it while watching it. They did have a boomstick, So I'm counting that as an homage to Bruce Campbell. And there you go.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
There's the opening and closing credits feature stock footage of several species of sharks and one blink and you'll miss it scene from Deep Blue Sea, specifically where the shark eats the parrot. Spoilers. And one clip is a rather famous shot of world-renowned shark expert Valerie Taylor testing out shark-proof chainmail with blue sharks. Valerie and Ron Taylor shot all of the live shark footage for Jaws.
Well, also the effects company that made the animatronic sharks for this movie made the sharks for like Deep Blue Sea and a few other shark movies. So,
yes. And that's why I like, once again, that's another part of it that they looked pretty decent. I'm not saying they were spectacular looking, but they were for that for 2011. I thought that they looked really good.
They were better than a lot of shark movies I've seen.
Well, now your standards have lowered during this month.
Fair, but still.
Go shark. Number nine, scary. Number nine, scary score, spooky soundtrack. Is this the kind of music that'll keep us humming? I really like the score and the soundtrack. I said it earlier. I really do. It was fun. It was youthful. And for the soundtracky stuff. And then the score was, I don't know. I just liked it. It kept me feeling kind of suspense. Mm-hmm. It kept me in suspense and.
No, suspense is good now.
Yeah, I don't know. It was like a little jarring in places, discordant, and I liked it.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you get somebody like Graham Revell doing your music, I mean, he did the music for the Gotham series. He did the music for, like, Riddick and, you know, a lot of stuff that you've seen. He's a good composer. And while I wouldn't call any of this super memorable, per se, it really worked in this movie.
Did you guys like it, Fay and Dredd?
Mm-hmm.
It was there. It's not that I hated it. It fit the tone of the movie.
Yeah, especially
there's nothing mind blowing.
Yeah,
especially a post credit song made it all worth it.
Oh yes,
there
that post credit song inspired my intro. It has inspired my life.
Oh, he also did the music for Freddy versus Jason.
Ooh, that makes sense. Number 10, that scared the shit out of me. Jump scares, one last scare, and other creepy shit.
Yeah, the one last scare, right at the end.
What the fuck? There were three things that made me scream in this movie. It was that ending shot, Gordon's death, and Malik's death. But mostly Gordon's death, I guess, because I really thought he had made it.
I was too busy trying to figure out how is he climbing up that tree. He just got shot. And I'm like, wait, didn't he get shot? How is he? Because he starts to use the one arm and I'm thinking, okay, maybe he only, you know, he's only got the one good arm because he was shot. But then he switches to the other arm and starts to climb.
As I'm saying,
didn't he just get, I didn't even get the word shot out, the shark flies out of the water, snatches him off the tree, and I was like, oh,
never mind.
Doesn't matter.
If you watch carefully, he actually tries to use his second arm, and he does a little, then he uses it anyway, but you mean, at least he did the little,
I don't believe you.
Oh, well, you should just rewatch the movie.
How about no?
not likely to happen.
Beth's death was scary in a different way. It was really, there's just something about that being trapped and eaten by tiny little cookie fish or whatever.
They were so cute.
Cookie cutters, yeah. That was just... it was slow and painful, and I felt it, so that made it, like, just really jarring. Damn it, Beth.
By 1,000 bites.
Yes. Oh, yeah, Beth also played by Kathy McPhee, who we know from Scorpion, or at least I know from Scorpion, because that's where I watched that show, and she was there. Man, I miss that show. Also, scared the shit out of me, Red's teeth.
Those were something else.
Yeah. They look like what people do to their teeth before they get veneers. Just saying. Also, this year I learned that people shave their teeth down to little nubs and then put veneers on them. And, wow. I get if you have, like, issues with your teeth, that makes sense, but, like, I don't think I could do that. That sounds really painful.
It's still weird.
Number 11. Someone does stupid shit. Or, name your favorite trope.
If we name all the stupid shit, we'll be here forever, but... I mentioned it earlier, but the friendly local sheriff that knows everybody by their first name trope. Because I've lived in this area and I have been to places that are exactly like that, it just always makes me laugh when I see it in the movie, because I've known those, like, where my mom grew up, the sheriff knew everybody. Mm-hmm. Because it was just a small little town.
It's just like back in Andy Griffith time.
Mm-hmm.
Can we also add in there that he was a dirty cop?
Oh, yeah. We know this.
Well, that's also
That becomes the secondary trope to his character.
Yeah.
Also, did someone fall for the trope of athlete guy coming in the room angry at nerd for not getting his grade, but then he did get the grade and they're like, yay! That went on for 5 minutes too long as well.
Yeah. he called it immediately. He's like, he's pretending to be upset. I'm like, I didn't, shut up.
For the first like 3 seconds, I thought it was going to be legit, because it just like, oh, random character is going to come in, piss him off, and then, you know, the story will start. But instead, it kept going. And that scene kept, and I'm like, okay, never mind. Now I know where we're headed.
Cell phones are useless.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
There's no what do you call it? Hardwire. What do they call that on your
landlines.
Yeah. No landline. The cell phones don't work. What the fuck? Why? No. No, I'm not going somewhere where my fucking phone doesn't work. You gotta be fucking kidding me. I will never. I watch too many horror movies for that shit.
Also, trying to get back to land on your boat, getting attacked and not making it, but magically the boat turns in the right direction, so you end up back where you were instead of in the middle of nowhere where you should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
And of course, exploding boat. It had to explode.
Yeah, because everything...
At least there was a reason for the explosion being a giant fireball. They hit an actual gas pump. There's an in-universe reason for that explosion to be what it was, which is they hit gasoline...
Once again, the odds of hitting that one pump.
Well, sure. Randomly. But we're not here to discuss that part of it.
Oh, I'm here to discuss the logic in this movie.
you need to check your brain out at the door if that's the case.
Malik sacrificing himself so that his friend can get away, only for the friend not to get away.
Without telling his friend, so the friend obviously turns around.
Yeah, I don't think that would have mattered.
Yeah, but still, it's like...
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Ambiguous ending. Tropity trope, trope, tropity trope. Do they make it? Do they not? Does that shark jump out of the water and get them? Is it just having fun?
Is it an ambiguous ending, or is it just lazy writing? Like, well, we don't know how to end things, so just shark pan jumps away.
Out. Pan away, shark jump out. The end. Who knows?
Shark jump, bunch of screams.
Yep.
Fade to black.
That'll get them. Ha ha.
I mean, even though it was really cool that Malik ended up killing that hammerhead shark. That was really fucking stupid. Like, you're bleeding. So go towards where the shark is.
Well, he wanted to kill the shark, thinking and it was the one that got
his. That doesn't stop it from being a bad idea. He's just like...
He didn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Anyone else? No. Number 12. Final girl.
Nope.
I mean, technically, I believe we have a final boy.
I mean, I don't know what sex the shark had.
Well, because, like, so, like, Sarah, like, on two occasions, she, like, goes after the dudes. Like, she gets the knife, she tricks them. She's, like, kind of, you know, she gets more tough as the movie goes on. Whereas, forgot his name again, Nick, he is, like, a nerdy guy. He's very kind and sweet. They make a reference to him being a virgin and stuff like that. So he is technically... our final boy. I've decided.
Mm-hmm. That works.
But are they actually final? Because we don't know if they survive or not.
Well, yes. We didn't see them die, so it doesn't count.
And shockingly, they didn't make a sequel to this, so we'll never know.
And quite honestly, I don't care.
Jesus Christ, Travis.
Like... It's hard for me to put into words how little I care.
About a sequel, you mean? Or
yes. Yes, okay. About a sequel.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
It's like, the rule is we have to see them die, or there has to be mention of them dying for them to technically die in the movie.
No, if you don't see someone die in a movie, then they're not dead.
Exactly. And even if they die in the movie, sometimes they come back.
Well, yeah, that's normal movies. Horror movies have their own set of rules, which is that nobody dies.
Nobody dies.
Or they can be brought back.
Yeah, or by lightning. you can just hand wave a reason for bringing them back. Yeah, exactly.
Number 13, the Savini scale of gore. It's not the quantity of gore, it's the quality of gore, special effects, and monsters. So how many?
Sharks in a lake.
Out of
cookie cutter
10.
Sharks.
Cookie cutter sharks? I like that. A dozen? Because you baker's dozen.
Well, baker's dozen's 13.
Shut up!
these New Jersey bakers. They rip you off.
All right,
wait,
so I'm
wait
two.
A minute. What did I say? Why would I say 12? That doesn't even make sense.
I don't know. I don't know.
I didn't say 12. Did I? You I just did. Said baker's dozen.
No, you said 12. A baker's dozen. I'm like, well,
a dozen? Because you baker's dozen. But why did I say 12? The number's 13. That doesn't even make sense.
I have no idea. I don't know.
Future Monica, what's wrong
a
with
dozen?
You? Because your baker's dozen?
No, past time.
I'm sorry. Shut up, me.
I'm torn on this because, like, overall, it's just sort of meh. But the sharks themselves didn't look that bad.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what you're. It doesn't matter if the plot sucked. It's more like
no. I'm just saying, like, the effects overall were meh. Like, there weren't anything special. The arm, because you could clearly, they didn't have the budget or the technology at the time to do, like, a green screen sleeve and, like, paint out his arm. Yeah. So it's just, he's going to tuck his arm into his hooded sweatshirt and have the sleeve dangling there. And clearly you can tell he's doing that. And so that's sort of, nah, and, like, it's PG-13, so there's not a lot of bloody gory attack, so it's just sort of like, it's all right, it didn't look terrible, but then the sharks look pretty good. Mm-hmm. and they had a variety of sharks, and like that hammerhead sitting on the beach looked all right. It also had probably my favorite moment in it, which is when Donald Logue comes up. He's like, well, what are you doing here? And he goes, I saw the bonfire. And he turns to look at it, and he goes, and he just sees the shark. He's like, the hell is that? It was just a great reaction. And so I love that. But I would say six. I'm going to go six.
Okay. I concur. Six.
I just would like to point out that how the hell did they find that arm afterwards?
Yeah. Fuck that. So,
such like, luck.
So what stupid. Did, no, but why? What did the shark do? Like rip out an arm and then say, don't want it.
Yeah,
basically.
And then, of course, you dive in. And as we all know, you can see clearly underwater without goggles and all that.
Yes, so because that's that how arm water works.
And
especially salt water.
Mm-hmm.
And he dove very close. There was no sense of distance or scale in this, right? Because they were going at a full clip when that arm came off. They were easily 3/4 of a mile from the shore, if not further, when that arm came off. But he just dove in by the shore, swam a few feet, and found it. So the shark actually bit it off, swam up by their spot, and was like, "I don't like this arm. Puh, take it back." And spit it.
Maybe it was dangling and fell off close to shore.
Let's go with that horrible option. I'll concur with a six.
I think I'm going to give it a seven. Not much better, but you know, just slightly. And that'll wrap up the 13. Okay, go ahead, body count.
Body count for this movie was nine.
Nine.
I think full cast for this movie was like 12. So
most everyone died.
Pretty much.
As they should.
But not the dog. Yay.
Not the dog.
Fun fact. This is the first shark movie released in 3D ever since Jaws 3D, 1983, 28 years prior.
I saw that in the trivia. I hated the way it was written. I don't know why. It's just something when I was reading it, like the first movie released in 3D ever. It's something with the way it was written bothered me. But overall, okay. So they didn't put out 3D shark movies for 2.5 decades. Cool.
I mean, it was just a fun fact.
And you got to give it to them.
The person that wrote it, not you, the person that wrote it.
I know, but I feel their pain for them because they'll never listen to this episode.
Just want to give it to them that even though this was a 3D movie, they didn't go overboard with the cheap 3D scenes that you're like, oh, it's a 3D movie. Yeah. Like, oh, poke you. Or, oh.
Yeah.
It was honestly, a movie. I didn't even notice, like, I didn't notice anything like that watching it.
Yeah. I think it was once when you see pieces of, I don't even know what it was anymore, but it was like small pieces floating in the water. Kind of saw. Sure. Were, like, yeah, that's where he went 3D. But yeah.
And now we'll play What the Hell Was That? It's where we play a clip from our next movie provided by our clip curator, Dreadly. Play the clip, Dreadly. Okay, so nobody really needs to guess the next movie because it's super obvious. But it's also a special request by one of our patrons, Squatch. So thank you, Squatch. And it comes direct from our own private Discord, which is one of the many benefits to joining our Patreon. Another one is the bloops, which you'll get at the end of every episode. And as an extra special bonus at the end of this episode, patrons will get an exclusive version of the intro rap remix. You don't want to miss this. The Patreon tiers start at just $2 a month, so get in there. You could do that at patreon.com/gore13. Squatch was also the person who guessed Ghost Shark correctly, so yay! Good for you. We didn't get any emails, but if you'd like to email the show, you can do that at gorepodcast13@gmail.com. We have a website created by the lovely Bumby. So check out our website at gorepodcast.com. And if you'd like to support us in some non-monetary ways, feel free to leave a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice. We love you. You rock. Once again, I'll put in for the third, since this is the extra third week of Shark Week, that sharkangels.org. If you want to adopt the shark, donate to the lovely shark, because these movies are just for fun and support the environment and what the beautiful creatures that they are. And you get a little stuffed animal, so that's like, you know, that looks like the shark that you adopted. So check out the link in the show notes. But until next episode, where can people find you, Travis?
I am all over all the socials as TV's Travis. Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky, Threads. The one, though, that I would appreciate is on YouTube. YouTube.com/@TV's Travis. I'm working on building that channel up a little bit. So a subscribe there would be great.
And Fate, where can people find you?
On Twitter at Chibi Phelan.
And finally, Dreadly, tell people how they can travel to the bowels of hell to find you.
All the bowels of hell reside at thedreadzone.com, as always. So head on over. And where can people find you, Kitten of Wickedness?
You can follow me on most of the social media platforms and on Twitch, which I'm thinking I might stream, but you never know if it's going to happen, so you want to be following me. So if the
You'll be streaming soon, Phasmophobia or some.
Oh, God, kill me. Apparently my co-hosts want me dead. I don't know what I did to deserve this, but it must have been something awful.
Made us watch shark movies.
That's true. I was about to say it had have absolutely nothing to do with watching Ghost Shark followed by Shark Night. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so once again, well, actually I didn't say it, but I'm Wicked Kitten 13 on all of those social media platforms. Once again, I'm not telling people who I am. But I love you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I hope we made it a little harder to fall asleep tonight. Poop.